Hebrews chapter number 7. And we're going to read verses 23 through verse 28. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, somebody say, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Could I have an amen there? And made higher than the heavens. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. That'd be another place to say amen. When he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, capital S-O-N, who is consecrated, say the last two words with me, forevermore. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. As your vessel, I pray, you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Oh, God, if somebody in the building or somebody tuning in doesn't know Jesus as Savior, help that person to realize love came for him. I thank you for what you've done. Bind the enemy. Put a hedge of protection about this place. May he in no way hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Do what you want to do and get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The time had come. The ultimate plan for mankind's redemption. Everything was right on schedule. There was no other way. So they are situated between two thieves, suspended between heaven and earth. He hung. He could have come down, but he didn't. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He could have defended himself, but he didn't. He stayed there, suffering in humiliation. Why? For me. There was no other way. My debt of sin was unaffordable. My deeds of sin were unforgivable. My destiny because of sin was unthinkable. My deliverance from sin was unimaginable. He came to die. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. What love. What sacrifice. Who does that? No one else could. No one else would. But he did. Why? For me. History hinges on that event. The fate of mankind was riding on that event. There was no other way. Listen, folks. The gospel message starts with this simple fact. Jesus died. Why? For me. Turn to the person beside you and say, he died for me. Turn the other direction and say, he died for me. Aren't you glad he died? But there's no Easter message if it ends there. I said there's no Easter message if it ends there. Thank God he died. Somebody say amen. After being belittled and beaten, bruised, battered, and buried in a borrowed tomb, they thought it was all over, didn't they? But how wrong they were. I say 3 days later, somebody help me preach. He rose. He got up. Aren't you glad he got up? He got up. He was seen of Mary, who thought he was a gardener. He was seen of the 12 disciples who were assembled together, afraid of losing their lives. He was seen of others. He went looking for Peter and talked him off the ledge, wooing him back into service. He commissioned the local church, telling them to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He ascended up into heaven with his Father. I'm talking about this man. Somebody say amen. That died on the cross. He rose again. I'd like to say hallelujah. What a savior. But the Easter message doesn't even stop there. Because that was over 2,000 years ago. What about 2021? It's April 4th. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're battling death, crisis, racism, suicide, depression, fear, sickness, economic struggles, pain, confusion, drugs, sex, rebellion, religious heresy. People all over the world have died. Some that you and I know and love dearly. Marriages are on the rocks. Many are living a defeated Christian life. Some seated right here in this building today. While the majority of the world stands outside of grace, running out of time to be saved. Any moment now, the trumpet's going to sound. And most of the world will be left here and doomed to a devil's hell. What does that Easter message do for us right now, right here today? What does it say to every person sitting in this building? How does it help those of you that have come here bearing burdens? How does it help those of you tuning in that are in a dark hole that you think there's no way out of? What does it do for the person on the side of the street strung out on drugs or the homeless person with nowhere to lay his head down at night? What does it do for the stranger in America who's looking for some acceptance? What does it do for someone who's meandering through life, trying every religion but never fulfilled? What does the Easter message do on April 4, 2021? These fancy outfits, these colorful festivities, these floral decorations, these crowded restaurants, these spring excursions. Is that what Easter is all about? Is it just that? I hope it's more than that. And based on the Word of God, I know it's more than that. I've come to you today to tell you that the Easter message is just as relevant today as it was the very moment he rose again. Yes, he died. Somebody say amen. Yes, he was buried. And yes, he rose again. But the Easter message has present ramifications for all of us. And there are three words found in Hebrews 7:25 that makes the Easter message as relevant today as it ever was before. And I want to give you those three words in Hebrews 7:25. Here it is. He ever liveth. Let me say that again. He ever liveth. Ladies and gentlemen, if he died and that was it, we're in trouble. If he was buried and that was it, we're in trouble. If he just rose again and stopped living after that, we're in trouble. But I'll tell you why I believe that nothing we're facing is bigger than the God we serve. I'll tell you why we can still keep going. We can still press forward. We don't have to quit. It's not time to back up. It's not time to bow down. It's not time to back down. It's not time to put up or shut up. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to give up on your marriage. It's not time to throw in the towel on raising your kids right. It's not time to let politics be what you stand on. It's not time to let the devil beat you down. It's not time to let the flesh tell you what to do. It's not time to think that the Bible doesn't work anymore. I'll tell you why. He ever liveth. He was alive then and he's alive now. He's alive today and he'll be alive forevermore. I don't know who the next president will be. I don't know when the next stimulus is going to come. I don't know what the next legislation is down the line. I don't know how many more people are going to get COVID. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I woke up this morning feeling fine because I woke up with heaven on my mind. I got shoes on my feet, a roof over my head. I got a mansion over the hilltop. But between now and then, I'm pressing on the upper way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I got better news than Geico. I got better news than Congress. I got better news than the IRS. I got better news than the weatherman. I got better news than the scientists. I got better news than the doctors. I want to tell you something that'll keep you smiling when everybody's frowning. That'll keep you skipping when everybody's tripping. That'll keep you shouting when nobody has anything to say. I want to tell you something that'll keep you praising when everybody's lost their praise. That'll keep you lifting God up when everybody's falling down. I'm here to tell you something that won't change the next time everything else changes. And here it is. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. Now I want to give you several things about my Jesus. I didn't come here to preach about Muhammad. I didn't come here to preach about Buddha. I didn't come here to preach about the Pope. I didn't come here to preach about Mary. I came to preach about this man because he's the only one that ever liveth. He's the only one that lives forevermore. Look at verse number 25. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. And because he ever liveth, look at verse 24 first. He has an immutable priesthood. An immutable priesthood. You know what immutable means? It means it never changes. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Study the Old Testament. When priests came and they went. They lived and they died. Some of them were good. Some of them were bad. None of them were perfect. And none of them had a priesthood that never changed. But come on now. This man, because he ever liveth, hath an immutable priesthood. You know what I'm telling you? He was a priest. He is a priest. He'll always be a priest. You know what the priest did? The priest went before God to sacrifice for the sins of mankind. They gave an offering once a year with the shedding of blood that couldn't take away sins. It would only cover sins. But those priests had to come back the next year and offer a sacrifice again just for the covering of sins. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ, that one great high priest, when he offered his sacrifice, he didn't need a ram. He didn't need a lamb. He didn't need a sheep. Come on now. He offered his own blood. This man, he ever liveth, hath an immutable priesthood. This man, he ever liveth, hath inexhaustible power. Look at verse number 25. Because he ever liveth, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Let me just not try to be too deep with you. If he had stayed dead, how he gonna save you? A dead God can't save anybody. He had to get up from the grave. He said, you'll destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll take it up again. If he didn't rise, he'd be a liar. If he was a liar, he was a sinner. If he was a sinner, he could not redeem us. He kept his promise. He had to rise again so he could save me. Aren't you glad he didn't stay in that grave so that I could, as a 4-year-old boy, could kneel down beside my daddy's bed and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, he was able to save everyone from that time until now. If you're sitting in the building today and you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell and you're looking for hope in religion and baptism and church membership and turning over a new leaf and the family you were born in the genes that you have, if you think you can buy it, if you think someone can sell it, if you think you can bid on it, if you think Amazon can deliver it, let me tell you something. It is not possible. But because he got up and because he ever liveth, he is able to save to the uttermost. Red and yellow, black and white, he can save them. If you got a drug problem, he can save you. If you got a criminal history, he can save you. If you weren't born here, he can save you. If you're a child, he can save you. If you're an adult, he can save you. If you were born going to church, he can save you. If you have no religious connection, he can save you. If you don't have an education, he can save you. If you don't speak English, he can save you. If you don't have a lot of friends, he can save you. If you don't got no money in the bank, he can save you. If you don't have a fancy car, if you got bad credit, if you can't pay your rent, if you don't have no assets, if you don't know what you're talking about, he is able to save you because he ever liveth. He hath an immutable priesthood. He hath an inexhaustible power. But because he ever liveth, he engages in intercessory prayer. Because he's alive, he's praying for me. No, y'all didn't hear me. Because he's alive, he's praying for me. Beloved, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Everybody wants to talk about what he did on the cross, and I'm glad he did. Everybody wants to talk about how he got up out of the grave, and I'm glad he did. Everybody wants to talk about how he showed up to the disciples and he commissioned the church, and I'm glad he did. He ascended into heaven, and I'm glad he did. And by the way, one day he's coming back to receive us unto himself, and I'm glad he's coming back. But what is Jesus doing right now? He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And what is he doing? He's making intercession for me. So when I get down on my knees and I pray and I don't feel worthy, and when I pray and I don't feel like I'm connecting, and when I pray and I don't feel like anybody's listening, I won't tell you, when I was moaning and groaning, hooked up to oxygen, and my head was hurting from the top of my head to the crown of my feet, and I couldn't see my wife and I couldn't get any visitors, and the doctors didn't know I was going to get well, but I lay on that bed and I couldn't even do anything but groan and grunt. But I'm confident that even in my moaning and my groaning, that man that got up out of the grave, he was talking to the Father about me. He said, that's my boy with COVID. That's my boy on that bed. That's my child going through sickness. He's got messages to preach, a church to pastor, a wife to love, kids to raise. You got to get him up off that bed. And my prayer got through, not because of who my daddy is, my mama is, my wife is, or my brother is, but my prayer got through because he ever liveth to make intercession for me. So my friend, you got to pray. I said, you got to pray. Get up in the morning and pray. In the noontime, pray. In the evening, pray. Pray when you're broke. Pray when you got it. Pray when you're sick. Pray when you're well. Pray to find a husband. Pray to find a wife. Pray when you lose your job. Pray to keep your job. Pray to stay pure, young person. Pray to obey your parents. Pray to do right in a wicked world. Pray to stay healthy. Pray to be a testimony. Pray to be salt when it's bland. Pray to be light when it's dark. Pray to God to keep you in church. Pray to God to keep you faithful to your wife. Keep you submissive to your husband. Pray to God to keep you loving God. Keep you winning souls. Pray that more people go to heaven. Pray that lost family members will get saved. Pray that the blind will see. Pray that the sick will be healed. Pray that those that don't know Christ will accept Christ. Why? Because when he went down off that cross and into that borrowed tomb, he got up, but he didn't just get up. He went to heaven, and he ever liveth to make intercessory prayer. He ever liveth as an immutable priesthood. He ever liveth as an inexhaustible power. He ever liveth to make intercessory prayer. He ever liveth as an impeccable personality. Look at verse number 26. Such an high priest became us. Listen to the description of Jesus. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I'll tell you, he ever liveth. He was situated between two thieves, but he was sinless. He walked on a sinful sod, but he was sinless. He hung around sinful people, but he was sinless. Isn't it amazing? They talked about him because he ate with Matthew and the publicans, but they didn't realize you can't mess this Jesus up. They talked about him because he sat down and he defended the woman caught in adultery, not because she was right, but because they weren't right either. And it was amazing. She couldn't mess him up. You couldn't mess him up because, my friend, he's never tainted with sin. I used to hear people debate, could Jesus sin? Would Jesus sin? When he was tempted in Matthew 4, tempted in Luke 4, was he thinking about it? Was he scratching his head? Was he leaning in? Did the devil almost get him? My friend, you got to be out of your mind. The only reason why two magnetic objects connect is because they're made of the same stuff. Only one thing can pull another thing towards itself unless they're both made up of the same thing. You know why when the devil tempts us to sin, we're lured towards sin? Because he's sinful and so are we. He's got sin and we got sin, so we're lured towards it. When he tried to lure Jesus, he was barking up the wrong tree. He was fighting a losing battle because you can't tempt someone to sin who is sinless. He's impeccable, holy. He is blameless. He is righteous. He is pure. He is godly. There were no other priests with an impeccable personality. That's why he didn't need a spotless lamb. He was the spotless lamb. An impeccable personality, intercessory prayer, inexhaustible power, an immutable priesthood. Watch his incomparable performance. Verse number 27, it says, who needed not daily as those priests to offer sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. You see, when the priest offered a sacrifice, he had to first offer for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus didn't have to offer for his own sins because he didn't have any sin. And he didn't have to offer something else for his own sin because he was the sacrifice for sins. Listen what the Bible says in the New Testament. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. He, speaking of God the Father, hath made him, speaking of God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen to Paul talking to Timothy. There is one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah said it 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Who hath believed our report? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. When there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He gave himself as a ransom for all, for the forgiveness of sin. I am redeemed, I am justified, I am washed, I am cleansed, I am pardoned. You say, how in the world can he let me into heaven? Because when God looks at me, he doesn't see Jesus. He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. You see, the world of religion is trying to work its way to heaven. You've heard me say before, you're never going to work your way to heaven, because after all that work, you're still a sinner. That's what separates religion and Christianity. Religion says do, but Christianity says done. It is finished. When he was on the cross, he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. I was going over verb tense with my kids in school a couple weeks ago. And one of the verb tenses is perfect tense. The word perfect tense means it is completed, yet it bears the continuance of its action. That means it's done, but it still holds to be true. When Jesus says, it is finished, te telestai, it is in the tongue, in the Greek tongue, that simply means it is finished, signed, sealed, and delivered. That means it was good then, and it's still good now. He paid my sin in full. He paid a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt I could not pay. I'm glad that he gave his life for me. He has an impeccable personality, an incomparable performance. He participates in intercessory prayer with an inexhaustible power. He has an immutable priesthood. And I'll close with this. He has an infallible perpetuity. The Bible says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. Let me break that down in 2021 talk. Them priests in the Old Testament, they were men with weaknesses and sicknesses that couldn't last forever. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, capital S-O-N, who is consecrated forevermore. An infallible perpetuity. You know what that means? He will be priest forever and ever and ever and ever. I know this world isn't a fun place sometimes to live. I know we're battling difficulty and trials and with struggles. And I know that some of you are sitting in the building today and you're carrying more than you think you can carry. But I'm here to tell you, you can cast your cares upon him because he careth for you. Your marriage doesn't just have to survive. It can thrive. You children can serve God. You parents can raise your kids right. You singles can find a husband. You see, and saints can have the most glorious time serving God in your golden years than you've ever had before. Not because of politics, not because of the president, not because of money, not because of friends, not because of who you are, not because you exercise, not because of your nice clothes, not because of your job, not because of your savings, not because of the stock market. You and I are celebrating Easter this Sunday, next Sunday, and every day we're alive, and then in person with the one who made Easter possible. Possible when we get to heaven for one simple fact. He ever liveth. And I don't know about you, I'm glad he's alive. Aren't you? And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he ever lived. And he's going to keep on living. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Our Father, we bow before you, begging you to get the best out of us because you gave the best for us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one.